Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all got me 2 weeks in a row. I don't know if that's a scary thing or a blessing. But we do hope Russ and Sydney heals quickly. I went through it not too long ago, and it's not a fun trip to go down with that COVID. So he asked me just the other day if I could cover for him, and I put this lesson together last night. Using the right tool for the right job. How many of us have done this? I'm a mechanic and so-called, and I have done this. And so, how many of us have seen this commercial? Liberty Mutual. Oh, yeah. He's up underneath the car and he asks the bird for a screwdriver and the bird drops a hammer. He asked for a blowtorch, and then the bird drops a teddy bear in his hand. So he rolls out of there with the distributor in his hands and all these wires out, and he finally comes out, all right, we need a mechanic. If we don't use the right tool for the right job, a lot of times we do more damage than we do good. And I think as Christians, and going over this lesson last night, it was one of those moments where, yeah, I'm not always using the right tool effectively. Because when you use the right tool, you become more effective in what you're trying to achieve. So what I want to do this morning is let's build character, Christians with character. Because I think that's what this time and age is what we need right now. Because we are letting too much of the world influence how we operate as Christians. We're letting too much of the world influence how we operate as a church. We're letting too much of the world influence how we live our daily lives. So how do we fix that? How do we make us good characters and Christians? So when you look at this, I want you to look at this as these are tools that make you more effective as a Christian. If you use these tools properly, and as I studied through this last night and went through it last night, I've realized there's a lot of areas I need to be more effective with the way I use my tools. And the very first one that I have up there is, going ahead here, is how do we have an effective prayer? Because let me be honest with you, when you get up in the morning and you grab that toolbox to carry throughout the day, that's the very first tool that you should be pulling it from, is prayer. That's the first one you should be pulling out of the toolbox to make sure that your day is effective, is you should start out with prayer. Now I don't want to advance. Now I know how Russ feels. All right, let's reset it. Oh, there we go. I got it. Whoop. First thing about prayer you need to realize is let's read 1 John 5:14 and 15. Because I want to grab a few things out of this verse that really will help us make our prayers more effective. It says this, and we are confident that He hears us. Whenever we ask for things that please Him, and since we know He hears us, when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. First of all, if you want to affect a prayer, you've got to have confidence in that prayer. If you don't have confidence in what you're asking for, and you have doubt in your prayer, it's not going to be an effective prayer. You need to realize and understand, first and foremost, that God hears your prayers. And we need to go, when we pray, with the right heart. Not a heart of ourselves, but a heart to please God. It makes a world of difference when you approach God's throne in prayer, trying to please Him, and not ourselves. And so often we want to go to God in prayer when we're struggling and we're hurting. Lord, help me out of the situation that I got myself into. Help me through the struggle that I'm now into. But so often we forget about all those other times. And do we truly have confidence in our prayers when we only come to God in an emergency? So we need to pray with confidence and with trying to please God. We also have to have the confidence that He's going to answer our prayers. He hears us. He is going to answer our prayers. And we need to realize that. You know, I say this all the time, and I use this verse all the time. I use James 5, verse 16. It tells us the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's a tool we were just talking about. You want an effective Christian life? Be effective in your prayers. Because if you're effective in your prayers, it's powerful and effective. Amen. That's so often why when I'm up here, I try to get one of the elders to come up here, because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I'm going to talk more about the elders' part, the laying on hands, how they can make a difference. But if you go back to the verse we read earlier and you are confident in your prayer becomes powerful and effective. And so often we take away from that power because we don't have confidence in our Lord, but when we pray to Him, in our method of prayer. That's a tool that we need to, like I said, pull out of that toolbox first thing in the morning. We know this verse. Pray without ceasing. The prayer should be a part of your everyday life. Every situation should be the answer is to pray about it. I mean, everything that we do and face in life. So often we pray here or we pray there. I've gotten the habit where I pray about every little thing. I'll give you an example. I went to work yesterday, and when I walked out the door, I didn't have my ID for the federal government. Tom will tell you, you can't do nothing without your ID, and I got to go to work. And I'm looking all through the house, and I stop at a couple places on the way to work and almost trying to run in late for me. I'm always an hour early, but running late for me to get to work. And I'm going, Lord, I need this ID card. Simple as the ID card. Lord, I need this ID card because I'm not effective today work-wise if I don't have my ID card. I can't access the computer. And right out of the blue, out of an unusual place, there it popped. It was stuck in my laptop. I don't know how it got stuck in my laptop, but when I opened my laptop, it was stuck in my laptop. But the answers to our daily problems, the good things and the bad things, should always be dressed by prayer. Yes. We should be praying multiple times throughout the day. That's how we are successful. If we try to do it on our own and wait till we get in trouble, we're already behind. We're already struggling as a Christian. Mm-hmm. But when we set the mindset in our mind that every situation, every answer is prayer, we become powerful and effective. That's what we need to realize is that toolbox that we have as Christians, sometimes that we don't utilize like we should. But one thing that we need to understand is, and learn, as we Psalms verse 37:7 tells us, be still in the presence of the Lord. Because that's what you're doing when you're praying to Him. You are in the presence of the Lord. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for Him to act. Brothers and sisters, it's on God's time, not our time. So often in this world today, we want an immediate reaction, an immediate response. I kind of miss the old days when things didn't really happen, when you had to call the house phone to try to trace somebody down. And now today you call a cell phone that sits over there while I was waiting. Somebody was trying to call me. Wait, wanting an immediate reaction. But it's based on God's time. And we learn to be patient. That's a virtue as a Christian that we need to be patient. Patient for one another, patient for others, and patient for God because He'll act at the perfect time. Did you ever pray for something and it never came and you were waiting and waiting and then all of a sudden it came and then you realized that couldn't came at a better time? God's time. And sometimes we need to realize that and understand that through that tool that we have. You know, I inherited a shed from my grandfather, and in that it had an old-style drill. And I sit there and try to drill, and that thing turn around and turn around. But what we need to realize that the power of prayer, I'm sitting there drilling and drilling and drilling, and I just forget that. Took out the electric drill and whoosh. That's the power of prayer. And we got to realize what the power of prayer can do for us. It's so much more powerful than what we can do. It's so much on time and at the right place and at the right time for it. You know, I had an interview with the town of Farmville's the fire chief, and I'm struggling with that. I said, is that the job for me when I retire? And one of the prayers I prayed on the way back, I was the only interview three, and I got to pick which one I wanted, so cert-wise, I'm probably the number one candidate for the position. But on the way home, I prayed, Lord, if this is meant to be, let me know. If it's not meant to be, don't let them call me. Of course, I ain't getting a phone call. But I realized God has something planned other than that. And that what we need to be faithful in our prayers, realizing God's got this. He's got this all under control. But if we don't utilize that, plug into that power of prayer, we never figure that out. We never understand that. We never know that. Until you start using it, you don't realize how much power prayer has. And it's an effective tool for us that we need today. No, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, it seems like that harmony that we keep running into. And I'm going to talk about that harmony later on in this lesson, but that harmony is happening for a reason. It's because we come together. But we need to be in Scriptures daily. We need to be in that Scriptures on a daily basis. We read this earlier, and you'll see it again before this lesson's over with, because I have a few points out of this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't study God's word daily, how do we rightly divide the truth when somebody comes up and says, hey, the Bible says this. That sounds good. Sounds like that might be right. How we are good workmanship in Christianity if we can't rightly divide the truth? And the only way we're able to do that is to listen to God's word. As we'll talk about here in just a moment, that's God speaking to us. How do we know what God's will for us if we don't diligently study his word? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of one mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, where these things were so. They received the word with the readiness of the mind. Some Bibles say that with the diligence. With excitement, basically. They wanted the word. And they studied it and searched it daily so they knew what was the truth. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be ready and wanting to learn God's word as much as possible. You know, before COVID, we were doing the Bible school. And those ladies and Tom were in those class every week. And they would keep coming to me and saying, as we dug deeper, they wanted to know more because they end up having those, I call those aha moments. And they go, I grew up in a church and I didn't realize that. So the more they dug into it, the more they want. The matter of fact, they've been on to me lately of when are we getting back into doing that class? Somehow, some way, we're going to make that class happen again. So we can do that deeper study because that's what we need. That's what we need in today's world because there's so many teachings out there. There's so many things that sound right. So many things that, oh man, that could be right. But if we don't know what God expects from us, we won't know unless we get into the Scriptures and study it. It's a tool. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. When you know what God expects from you, you know what to expect. We talked about it this morning, about expectations. I tell my firefighters all the time, I lay out my expectations so you can be successful. You don't have to figure it out or think which what I want out of you. I tell you what I want out of you. Just like prayer is the answer, so is Scripture. It has the answers to every problem in the world today. Jerry was talking about money last week. And all the answers go to how to be successful money-wise. It has the answers for everything in life if we utilize that tool. But in your heart, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 tells us this. But in your heart, revise Christ as Lord. In other words, put Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give an answer. Be prepared. Because when people say, why do you believe that baptism is essential? You need to be able to answer that. Why do you believe the way you do? You be able to answer that. Brothers and sisters, I don't expect you to know every book and chapter and verse on everything. But you need to know where it's at. And there's so many tools out there. There's little books that you can look up any type of scriptures you want. You can keep it in your purse, in your pocket. There's little booklets on everything. Harry was talking about the little ditty bags for the homeless, that the need. You can keep this in your pocket and show them, say, hey, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I can show you. Let's read it together and see what it says. You need to be able to know what the Scripture says so you know how to answer those questions. Because if you hesitate, well, you know, that's just the way we believe, people are not going to, they're not going to buy into what you're selling. If you don't know how, you know, if you don't know your product and you're a salesman and you don't know your product, most people ain't going to buy it. And we have a mission and a product to sell. We have everlasting life to sell. But people ain't going to buy into it if we don't know our product. And the only way you're going to do that is be successful as a Christian is know the Scriptures. And you need to be in it daily. All is 2 Timothy 3:16 verses through 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and used, as we talked about this morning, this is the very verse. All Scripture is God-breathed, is to use for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. You hear that part? Training in righteousness. You want to be righteous? You got to get your training on. You got to get in Scripture. Training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. You want to be equipped? Get into Scriptures. You want to be able to handle daily issues and daily problems and daily struggles? Get into Scriptures. It will help you through any situation that you go through. You know, another thing that we kind of always look over is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We receive that the day that we're baptized. And so often we forget all about it. It sits inside of us and we don't tap into that wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. It's there waiting for us. The reserve power, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes. Reserve power to help us through our struggles. But so often we don't utilize the Holy Spirit, even though it was given to us the day we were born in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verses 9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh. The day we were born as a Christian, we changed who we were. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You were given that as a gift from God the day that you were born as a Christian. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of them. You know, the 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 talks about different gifts. It's talking actually to the apostles and the stuff, that the different gifts they were received, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. But we are given gifts from the Holy Spirit. For to the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The Spirit gives us talents and abilities to be effective as Christians, but if we don't tap into it, we're wasting it. We need to focus through study, through prayer, and through the use of the Holy Spirit to be effective Christian. It's a tool that's just sitting there with all this power. So often we don't tap into. Romans 8, verse 26 tells us this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So often we try to do things on our own, and the Holy Spirit is there to give the strength that we need. So often we go to prayer and we don't know. That Holy Spirit says, just try with your heart, as we talked about earlier. Just come from the heart, and I will take care of it from there. So often we rely on our abilities and not tap into the power of God's abilities. It's so much powerful, and we miss out on those opportunities. And we have that tool that is effective for us as Christians that we don't tap into because of lack of faith. We have this. We know we have this. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But as I study through this, maybe I'm not utilizing these tools as I should, as effective as I should. Proverbs 19:20 through 21 tells us this. Listen to the advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. May are the plans of the minds of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So often, we develop our own plans of how we're going to fix things. We develop our own plans of how our life's going to go. We develop our own plans how things should go. We have so many plans in our heads and so many expectations in our heads, we forget to hear where the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and for God's purpose. Because once you became that Christian, you're here for God's purpose. You're no longer here for yourself. If you're going to be effective for God, you have to listen. You have to utilize all these tools. And so often, we don't tap into it like we should. I know I don't. Studying this, I have realized there's a whole lot more that I got to tap into. We know this one. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's not our church, it's His church. He built His church. We are His church.
Amen.
And we need to understand that and why the church is so important. Because it's a vital tool, especially in today's time and age. Church is so vital in the world that needs a light. And we're going to talk about why. Romans chapter 15, 5 through 7 tells us this. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in a completely in harmony, which we talked about earlier, with each other, as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. As it's fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praises and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accepting each other just as Christ accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Let me ask you something. How can we give praise and glory, and how can we be one voice and we're separate, separated? We need to be here. We need to be here praising God together. We need to be here studying God together to be in harmony. And it's hard to do that when we're not together, when we're off doing one thing or another, when we kind of take church and everything a part of it as just another event I got to go to, another day on the calendar, another thing that I got to attend. I got to go to work. I got to do all these other things. And church is just another event. It's more than an event. It's life-changing when you allow it. It's more than an event. It's for a purpose. Remember, this is God's church. We're coming to His church. We're just not checking off a box. But so often, I think that's the way we treat this gathering. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47 tells us this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temples, the courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with gladness and sincere heart, praising God and rejoicing the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Mm-hmm. When the church was together, when they worshiped together, when they ate together, when they fellowshiped together, that's when the Lord added to the church. Look at Satan today and what he's done over the last few years. They've given us reason not to be here, given us reason to stay apart and stay separated. And look at the church today. You want to make this church grow? Because it's our responsibility to make this church grow. If you want to make this church grow, we need to fellowship with one another. We need to come together on Sunday mornings for Sunday schools and Sunday church worship. We need to fellowship with one another every opportunity that we can. And the Lord will add to His church daily. We can't do it separated. I've looked back at these last 2 years and I've struggled with myself and I've struggled with it, and it all comes down to one thing, brothers and sisters. How much faith do you have in the Lord? Because it's His church. And we miss opportunities like this to sing praises to God, to take the Lord's Supper, as we'll talk about in a moment. What are we missing out? We're not being effective. This community needs this church. We need this church. We need to be, look at ourselves individually, look at nobody else. Look at ourselves individually and see what we can do to make the difference for this congregation. We need to look at this as a tri-city, as a sister church, to see what we need to do to make a difference. But we need to look at ourselves, and if Jerry keeps doing it, which I love Jerry to death, as he says, look around. See who's not here and ask them why. See what help they need. And if you're impacting their life, they want to be a part of your life. They want to be a part of this. If you don't sell the product and you're not doing it yourself, nobody's going to buy it. Same way with church. If we're not reaching out to the people who need to, and I'm beating myself up right now, I'll be honest with you. If we're not reaching out to the people who are not here, we're not effective. This is the Lord's church. He can do anything with it. We can grow daily if we have faith in Him. We can double and triple and quadruple the numbers here at Edge Hill if we have faith in Him and we fellowship with one another. This is a hard pill for me to swallow, I'll be honest with you, because I get so busy with my day-to-day life, I can realize I need to do a whole lot better. This is on me. That's why I say, don't look at nobody else. This is on me. I need to do better. All I'm trying to do this morning is encourage you to do the same. It tells us this, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scriptures, to preaching and teaching, and do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy message when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. If we're not getting this right, coming together and devoting ourselves to one another, how are we going to preach to the public? How are we going to preach the word They know us by the way we love one another. That's where they'll see the difference. You know, I was talking about when we come together, so many things occur. I've seen it before. When the elders come together and we talk about the power of prayer and the study, when the elders, I've seen it where, Jerry, I don't know if you, Ray, remember this, but laying your hands on Rick C. He didn't make it through the earth part of it, but he made it through the spiritual part of it. And anybody who knows Rick C. had a positive attitude to the very last moment till he met the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, the elders here are effective. They were effective. That moment still today, it strikes me, of the laying on the hands of the elders of someone who's in need. We can be effective. We need to be effective for our elders as a congregation. We need to step up and be effective for them. You know, we come together, as Acts 20, verse 7 tells us, on the first day of the week. We're told when. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. At the very minimum, brothers and sisters, at the very minimum, we should be coming here for the Lord in remembrance of what He's done for us, to sing praises to Him, to worship Him, and study what He expects from us. We should not do it for anybody else.
Yes,
we should be doing it for the Lord. There's no other excuses, no other reasons why each and every one of us should be here. And so often it's some preaching to the choir, but we need to get those who are not here back here so they realize whatever the issue is, you're doing it for the Lord. Remember what He did for you. He died on that cross for you. Remember those things. That's why we come together on the first day of the week. That's why we're told in Scripture to do so. We talked about this verse a little bit this morning in a roundabout way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. And it's funny, Chuck used this very phrase that's in this verse in which I was kind of smiling and laughing. And, Lord, You're at work. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. That's what you said this morning, is drawing near. Well, that's what we need to understand. That day is drawing near. It's coming. There's no stopping it. There's nothing to do about it. It could be here before I'm done, or it could be here a week from now. We don't know when, but we know that it's drawing near. And we're told what to do in the last days is to come together as a congregation. We need it more now than we need anything else, is to come together as a congregation. Because that day is drawing near. I want to leave you with the same thought as we started out with our scripture reading and as I read earlier today. I want you to think about this and focus on yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to look to see where we're at on our workmanship. Are we being effective? Are we building our character as a Christian? Are we doing the right thing when nobody else will do the right thing? Are we here when we're supposed to be here? Like I said, I went over this lesson last night, and the good Lord was preaching to me all night long last night, saying there's a lot of areas that I need to correct and improve. But I think we need to do that. And if you're online listening to this, think about what you need to improve, because we're here as a congregation. Said it last week. We don't know what your needs are until you let us know. Maybe we need to start reaching out and asking, but we don't know what your needs are until you let us know. We're here as a congregation. We have the best elders that I've ever seen. Jerry's going to come up here as he normally does, and if you have any issues, any concerns, or any worries, the prayer of a righteous man is effective and powerful. And when an elder lays his hands on you and on your shoulder to pray for you, it's even more effective per Scripture. So if there's anything we can do, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.